We got full recaps of the four games that took place, besides ours, of course, in the American Athletic Conference. A lot from the major game that took place on Saturday night with Tulsa continuing to do what it's been doing this year. Basically, all of the heartbreaking losses that have gone against the Golden Hurricane over the last couple of seasons, everything has gone in their favor. So you knew they had it coming. Maybe it's a good lesson for Bulls fans with a couple of the heartbreaking losses we've had that, man, once things do turn around, they're going to turn around completely in your favor, because that's what the still undefeated in the conference team, the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, has had happen to them. Also, I got to mention this because it has come down late on Monday morning. Naturally, any team from the American that makes the NCAA tournament in basketball will deal with this. It's just another major bit of sporting news that, of course, is COVID-19 and pandemic related. But the NCAA announced late Monday morning that it will be scrapping basically all of the host cities for the men's basketball tournament this year. The 2021 tournament will all be held in one location. It looks like Indianapolis is, of course, the favorite since it was the Final Four planned host anyway. Amazing article on NCAA.org announcing it. It was one of those things where I'm on Twitter, right, and you see a couple of blurbs come out, and you're like, well, that sounds like it's big news. And then you realize that it was kind of undersold originally, because all the cities that were supposed to host, and remember this happened to us last year in March, Amalie Arena was going to host the first and second rounds. This year, the closest city to us, I guess, would be Lexington, also Raleigh, North Carolina. So those are two of the eight cities that are out of luck for opening round games, the others being Boise, Dallas, Detroit, Providence, San Jose, and Wichita. And then the Sweet 16 / Elite Eight hosts would have been Denver, Minneapolis, Brooklyn, and Memphis. So all of those cities, and most of them actually have future regionals planned. The only exceptions were Boise as well as Minneapolis. So that'll have to be something that gets sorted out later on. But yeah, if you are a USF Bulls fan, or if you're a fan of any team in the American Athletic Conference, your men's basketball team is going to be headed to Indianapolis if it makes the NCAA tournament. Now back to football, and yeah, we'll start off with the Wild One. Tulsa and Cincinnati still undefeated in the conference, and it could have been SMU as the team that's in second place right behind Cincinnati if it had been able to hold on to a 21-0 lead. That's right, Tulsa did it again. Remember, it's hard to believe, but they were down 21-3 in Orlando early in the season and miraculously held the Knights out of the end zone for the entire second half, just held them to 3 points. This time around, held SMU scoreless in the entire second half. Still, of course, left it late for the victory, but they do get the victory, 28-24. SMU had a 14-0 lead before the midway point of the first quarter, and their offense had only picked up around 30 yards. A pick six, then Tulsa fumbles on its next second play, and from the 19, despite going to second and 22, there was a penalty in there, and SMU on third and 11 had Shane Bouchel hit Kylan Granson, and it was 14-0. Then Tulsa goes on a 5-minute drive, gets inside the 10, gets sacked, and misses a 34-yard field goal. SMU goes 80 yards and then scores on the first play of the second quarter. It was 21-0. And it could have been worse, believe it or not, because Tulsa went 3 and out. They were almost out of it really early, but finally got on the board with 6 minutes to go in the half. SMU got 3 back, so it's 24-7. Tulsa gets sacked twice on the next drive, and really that was that. So start off the second half with the ball. You're down 24-7, but you get the ball. What do you do if you're Tulsa? You move the chains after a second and 21. You're feeling it. You get down to the 1 yard line, third and goal. SMU stops them. Two plays, and it's SMU ball, 24-7. And this game is looking like the Mustangs have it in control. They get to midfield, actually in range for a long field goal attempt by their outstanding kicker, Chris Nagar. And though he misses, they've still chewed up half of the quarter. So Tulsa really has to score. And its next drive, they get a 3rd and 13 conversion. And indeed, they score with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. And all of a sudden, it's 24-14. Then things start to shift more into Tulsa's direction as an offensive pass interference takes away an SMU first down for a 3 and out. Into the fourth quarter, a 19-yard run by Wilkerson for Tulsa. And then Zach Smith to Josh Johnson on the next play. Wow, it's 24-21 and there's still 13 and a half minutes to go. But amazingly, SMU still kind of was able to keep them at arm's length, because the next two drives, SMU got into Tulsa territory. Now up three, they decided to, instead of a long field goal, go for it on fourth down. The Tulsa defense made the stop both times. While that was happening, Tulsa's offense was going three and out. So on the third chance, after the defense came up big twice, with 4:20 to go, Stokes for 12 yards on a reception, 29 yards more for Stokes. Kalen Stokes, outstanding receiver, gets down inside the 25. T.K. Wilkerson, who would go 21 carries for 97 yards, runs it down to the 10-yard line. First and goal, he gets three on the next two plays, and then Tulsa gets the go-ahead touchdown. Still need to make a big defensive play. Here's how it sounded.
Smith to throw. He's got Palmer, who reaches across. James Palmer, his first career touchdown, and he puts Tulsa ahead. Bouchelle intercepted. Zaven Collins seals it for Tulsa.
Knew there was about a minute 45 left on the clock. Needed a big play out of the defense. Kind of went into a sticks type coverage. Sticks means, you know, where the first down marker is, you know, keep everything they catch in front of us. I believe they went empty, I'm not for sure, but I was in a zone. My guy pushes vertical. He went out pushing away from me, just turned back inside. And when I turned to look and kept sinking, saw the ball up in the air and just went and got it. And then took off running. I was like, okay, I got to get down. So I slid. And then I was like, started celebrating, and I forgot that there was a minute 30 still left on the field, and I celebrated and I saw a flag go up. So I was like, oh my goodness, I hope I didn't just give them the ball back first and whatever. But thank goodness, you know, it's fortunate. That's not how it works. And it worked out in a positive way.
You know, just really, really proud of our players, just the way they fight, the way they stay together through adversity, through thick and thin. They're resilient about the way we play. Obviously, they're trying to give their coach a heart attack. But the drama part of it, I mean, I just love to see the way they react to each other, the way they continue to keep playing for 60 minutes. That's always been a staple of our program. But as you can tell, just finding ways to win and to see guys step up and make big plays and continue to just battle. You know, we didn't start the game really, either side didn't start the game the way we wanted to. We spot them 10 points right there. And then, you know, guys don't get down. They don't shrug. They just continue to keep battling and just keep chipping away at it. And you got to love the mentality that they bring to the table each and every week.
It seemed to me like it would have been easy to hang your head some tonight, and obviously they didn't.
I don't think our team's built that way. You know, I think our team is built to just continue to keep battling. They give us 60 minutes to play. Our guys are going to play 60 full dang minutes. So that's as clean as I can make it for TV. Do we want to have to do this every week? No, but our guys know that we can come back. We've proved it multiple times. Now we just got to continue to keep getting better, keep sharpening off of each other, you know, maybe try to get a better start to a couple of these.
First voice you heard, you probably figured out, was Zaven Collins himself. What an amazing player he is. And yes, for the third time this year, he was announced, this was on late Monday morning, as the American Athletic Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Now his happy head coach, Philip Montgomery. Incidentally, they have a really quick turnaround, but at this point, Tulsa gets to stay at home, so that's big. Taking on Tulane, we'll tell you what they were up to in just a little bit. Cincinnati, the other undefeated team in the conference, and man, did they put it on East Carolina. Last year, you may recall in Greenville, a wild game that the Bearcats pulled off, 46-43. Holton Ahlers lit them up. Well, in this game, he threw for 87 yards, and they were in need to throw the ball mode early. It was 35-10 Cincinnati at the half. 55-17 is the final score. Yes, there was some controversy at the end of the game, but then you look at it afterwards, you step back and you realize that maybe Cincinnati was completely blameless, at least the coaching staff. At 42-10, a fake punt was called for, but it was on the field. It had nothing to do with the players. In fact, Luke Fickell said he apologized to Mike Houston right after. And then ECU scores with 17 seconds left. So in my opinion, if you're going to punch it in, plow it into the end zone with 17 seconds left, as if, you know, the game is still active and live, You really can't complain when the other team tries to score, especially on senior day. Remember, this was senior night, and Cameron Young, who had returned to the team after being away a couple years and had only one previous career carry, it was in the blowout opener this year against Austin Peay. So they gave him the ball at the end of the game on senior night. Just so happens that he split the seam and went for a 75-yard touchdown. I normally would be bothered by that, but if you really look at the circumstances and that specific player, Cameron Young, if it was Desmond Ridder, you know, running a option keeper, then maybe not. But yeah, that was just sort of the salt away situation there. A great performance by Cincinnati. That 75-yard run put him over 653 yards. Desmond Ridder, again, outstanding. Runs for 83, passes for 327 and 3. And Cincinnati's looking tremendous, and Ridder was the offensive player of the week. Defensive player of the week, same team. Jarrell White, senior linebacker, 7 tackles, including a sack, and scored his first career touchdown on a 26-yard interception in the first quarter. Special teams player of the week, well, you saw what he did against the Bulls, Marcus Jones from Houston. On a roll, a couple of UCF nights, as Marlon Williams had 4 catches for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns and a 38-13 win against Temple. And Eric Gilliard, who led the outstanding UCF Knights defensive effort, 12 tackles, 3 for loss, forced fumble, and a fumble return. You know, they got shut out in the second and the fourth quarter, but they did a lot of shutting out of Temple. Temple didn't score until the fourth. And here is what Josh Heupel had to say about that.
I thought we were relentless with our effort all night long up front. You know, we rotated and played a bunch of guys. You know, we've had some young guys that have gotten opportunities the last couple of weeks here that have made plays when they've gotten an opportunity to be in there. They've been disruptive. I thought our linebackers, again, did a great job of tackling in space all night long. You know, they fit their gaps. I thought, you know, our defensive line linebackers and then our safety rotation and some of our fits, we did a great job of hatting it up. And obviously, they were playing the more athletic of the quarterbacks there early in the football game. Some quarterback run, thought we handled it pretty well.
When I say Temple didn't score until the fourth, they didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. It was 21-3 at halftime and 38-3 heading into the fourth. 38-13 the final. UCF now 5-2, still in it. And guess who they play this week? Cincinnati. In Orlando, it's going to be interesting. Temple falls to 1-5. And how about Tulane winning against Army? Really, another good defensive performance here, shutting out the Knights in the second half. A little bit of a misleading final score because it was 24-12 Tulane with Army driving inside the Tulane 15-yard line. But with about 2 minutes gone in the fourth quarter, they tried a little bit of a fancy pass, an option pass that didn't work out. And then actually Tulane didn't score on its next drive, but got a short field when Army, with about 6 minutes to go, had to go for it at its own 17. Tulane would punch it in from there. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Army tried the throw across the field thing. Tulane picked it off for a touchdown, and that's how that final margin got a little bit out of hand. Final score being 38-12, but still, the fact that they held Army out of the end zone in the second half actually might have come as a surprise a little bit to the head coach of the Green Wave, Willie Fritz.
Worried before the ball game. We had a great week of practice, and our guys just seemed kind of down and dead. And when we got out there in warm-ups, and luckily one of their coaches ran through the middle of us while we were warming up with about 30 guys and was trying to knock our guys over and stuff, and it fired our guys up, man. They came in the locker room, and they were ready to play. And so I appreciate that, and that was good. But I thought we played well in all three phases. We did a really good job offensively. Controlling the clock, controlling the ball, not turning the ball over. That's big against these guys. I think we're plus three, and there's not very many times that you get to be plus three against these dudes. I thought defensively we played extremely well. Great job tackling. Great job playing with leverage. You know, our bugaboo against them has been them throwing the ball over the top against us. And, they didn't get an opportunity to do that this week. We did an excellent job of staying over the top of routes and then obviously we made some big plays in the kicking game. I thought we had some really good coverage, punt, kickoff, huge play by Jatavion Tolles at the end of the game. That's, you know, I've been doing this a long time. Since 1982, I've never had a play like that before. So, you know, at the end of the game when, you know, somebody needs desperation play, you talk about, you know, ultimate contain, 21 rule, keeping all 21 guys inside of you. And he did a nice job of just, you know, taking that lane and scoring a touchdown with it. So great job overall, offense, defense, kicking game. And, you know, they don't get beat like that very often. You know, if you beat them by 10, that's really, you know, dominating them. So super job by our guys.
Their freshman quarterback, Michael Pratt, was on the weekly honor roll, 19 of 27 for 197 yards and two scores. And by the way, the other member of the weekly honor roll was Zach Smith, the Tulsa quarterback, 26 of 38 for 325 and three scores in that huge win against SMU. We'll get some basketball for you on the midweek show, but that's going to do it for the Monday version of Around the American. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.